All right, will you stop and pray with me? I got a word to give you today. Lord, we just love you and praise you. Lord, I thank you for our worship. I thank you, Lord God, that we are able in this country to come together in worship. And Lord, what a powerful thing that is. And Lord, we just want to thank you for who you are. We lift up your name. And Lord, today, I want to ask that you would make your word come alive. And by coming alive, that means usually change for each one of us, but it's always good change. So we just thank you for that, and we love you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say it. Amen. Here we go. We are going to read from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And I don't know if, I think this is sort of funny. Okay, when you come through those doors right there, if you look up, you will see a beautiful scene with a scripture. And we've had one up there for all of last year. And did you know that it got changed? How many of you knew it got changed? Raise your hand. If you knew it got changed, oh, not very many of you. Just look up out there. It's a beautiful picture of a river and with the rocks and everything. As a matter of fact, that's what it is right there. And it's got a new scripture on it. And it's this scripture, and I've chosen this scripture for our church for this year. So here we go. Ezekiel 36, 26, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I was speaking to a man the other day, and he said something quite interesting, and he said I could say his name. So his name is Sal Malullo. And you've probably had a few drinks of Malullo's coffee at some point. And Sal has been a believer for many years. I haven't really stopped and talked to Sal much, but I did the other day. And he was telling me of a conversation that he had with someone. And he interjects just right in the middle of his conversation, just very casually. He's telling the story, all of a sudden he says, up until a few years ago I was religious, but I'm not anymore. And then he just keeps talking. Well, my mind just went right to what he just said. And so after he was finished, I politely said, look, Sal, I don't know you that well, don't want to get too personal, but what did you mean by that? You could mean several things. And what did you mean you aren't religious anymore? And he mentioned how God had changed his heart so that he didn't judge people as often as he used to. People who didn't live like he thought they should live. He wanted to be more like Jesus, who looked past the way people were living to share the good news of God's love with them. And we see that over and over again in Scripture. And then I asked him, well, I said, well, how did this happen? Why all of a sudden a heart change? And he said he had a loved one go through some terrible things, and Sal was finding that his religion or the way that he was thinking was not doing anything. And no matter how he, what he said, how he said it, his attitude toward this individual that he loved very deeply was not doing anything, and there was no change. And it was only after a stranger confronted Sal on a basketball court, which again made me stop, because Sal, hope you don't mind, Sal, if you're watching, is 63, and I'm thinking, what are you doing on a basketball court? I know I'm not out there. But he was. And he was on a basketball court, and this stranger he was playing basketball with, he saw that Sal looked discouraged, asked him if he was okay. And Sal said that he was kind of defensive at first. And, you know, what's this stranger asking me about my personal business? You know, why is he asking this personal question? But Sal was at a place of desperation, and he said, yeah, well, I got a situation. This person I care about is in trouble, and there's nothing I can do to fix it. This is so interesting. I don't know who this guy was, but I love what he said. He said, religion will never change this person, but the love of Jesus Christ will make the change. And Sal said this began a change in his own heart toward other people. And this story has a great ending. I can't really share who this person is, but this person did turn their life around. And so, praise God, that's a wonderful ending to that. And now Sal told me that every morning in his personal devotions, he asks God if he will put in his path someone that he can encourage, someone who needs the love of God, and despite what situation they're in, what decisions they've made, what lifestyle they're in, how can he, Sal, make a difference just by encouraging somebody? And I go back to his original statement, up until a few years ago, I was religious, but I'm not anymore. He had a heart change, and a changed heart means a changed attitude toward your fellow man. And this is what I'd like for us to focus on today, addressing those of us, I'm really talking to the person who knows Christ. Some point in your life, you accepted Christ into your life. You said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to know you personally. I can't do this on my own. And at some point in your life, you've done this. And so, kind of speaking to you today, and those of us who know Christ, because we know the truth, we can so easily judge other people. And I want us to learn a different way today. And that's true love. And so I have a rock, a beautiful rock. But it's a, you know, rocks are hard. I suppose if you really looked under it with a microscope of some kind, you might be able to see some movement. I suppose there is when you're touching a rock, but I think you get the point. A rock is hard. I think we know that. So that scripture says, instead of a heart of stone, God wants to give us another kind of heart. So he says he's going to give people a new heart. And this new heart is going to be pliable, see? I kind of formed this into, does that look like a heart? I don't think so. But it's pliable, see? I can make this thing be molded, okay? And that's the kind of heart that God wants to give us. He says he's going to give people a new heart that is teachable, moldable, like soft clay in the hands of a potter. And Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. So this is a heart, again, that is soft, that's tender, and it's moldable to his will. So let's take a little deeper look into Ezekiel chapter 36, and it's verse 22. It says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. So this statement reveals why God is offering restoration. This says why he's going to give them a new heart, okay? But the fundamental reason given is not grace and mercy, even though this act is gracious and merciful. The reason is to uphold God's holy reputation and his greatness among the nations, because what Israel has done, how they've lived, how they've looked at idols, and how they have served other gods has been a detriment to the name of God throughout the world. So Israel had been exiled to other nations, in particular to Babylon. And the nations that were looking on, they thought that this God they had was unable to protect them because the gods of Babylon had taken them over. So the world looked at them and thought, well, that's because their God is weak. But what they didn't know is that God did this on purpose. It was punishment for Israel's idolatry, for their conduct and sinful behavior from seeking other gods. And God ultimately, and he still does, he wants the world to know that he is the one true God, okay? But Israel had failed them miserably. And so that's why God is saying, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And he's saying that it's only by his divine intervention that does this take place, okay? And his presence will be able to change Israel. And only his presence will change their conduct and their sinful behavior. And when you think about your heart, do you feel your heart is one of stone? Do you feel like that there's an element of stone in your heart? It's kind of hard, unpliable, unworkable, that maybe over time, for whatever reason, you've got a protective wall around your heart. You know, that happens to a lot of people. A lot of things happen in this life to give us a stony heart, to one that's not moldable. Things happen. Sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes it is. Sometimes terrible things can happen to us, so we close ourselves off. And over time, our hearts begin to get hard. Okay? So, is your life making God's name great? Is the way you are living by having a moldable heart that God can mold and change? Do people think well of our God because of how you love others? Ask yourself that question. And I'm going to say, don't think of everybody else. That's what we like to do. Think about yourself. The way that you've lived your life and the way that you've loved people, does this present God in a good way to the world? Okay? So you might think, okay, how can I change? How can I become a person that doesn't judge other people? How can I be a person that encourages other people? Now, if you're able to ask that question, that's the first step. And you might think, well, yeah, well, that's an easy thing to do. Well, it's not an easy thing to do for some people. But you know why? It's because of deception. And so a lot of us, we get deceived. And deception is when you think you're just fine as you are, and it's everybody else that needs to change. Okay? Now, we all face this at some time, and probably do it some more than others. Okay? And it's deception. And you don't look at yourself, but you begin looking at everybody else and what they need to do. Okay? But not you. Now that's deception. And if you're deceived in that way, it can go as far as to give you a stony heart. Okay? It really can. So just being able to ask that question sincerely of yourself is a great place to start. Because this is a religious spirit. This is where the religious people of Christ's day were, the Pharisees, as we know. And they thought that they were just fine because they followed all the religious rules. But they also judged other people who didn't quite meet their lofty expectations. Okay? And Jesus, out of everybody, had no patience with these people at all. He spoke so harshly to them and yet so kindly to just about everybody else. But it was to these religious people that he was hard on, okay? One more thing I want to say about Sal is that I mentioned that he was 63 and that just recently did this happen to him, like a few years ago. And so what I want to say with that is, it's not that he's old, but that he's lived some life. Okay, I think we can all agree he's lived some life. And at that age, a heart change happened. So it doesn't matter how old you are, there can be a heart change. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. And if you're young, like below 20, below 25, how about that? Many times I sit over here. Yeah, it's the best time to look at your heart is now. The best time is when you're young. Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. I'm just going to read this to you. And this is all about judging other people and what we should and shouldn't do. And this is Jesus speaking. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So Jesus says, knock it off. Quit judging people. You've got your own issues to deal with. Quit judging them. You got a long way to go. We need to always have that attitude that I'm not perfect by any stretch. So I need to be super careful in how I'm judging someone else. So how did Jesus live this out? These are strong words. And at times, Jesus really spoke with strong words. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Famous story. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again in the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? And they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again, and he said, all right, let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. A lot in this story. But really, with all these people that were condemning this woman, Jesus doesn't condemn her. But he doesn't just let it go. He doesn't excuse the sin. He tells her basically, I don't condemn you, but there's a better way for your life. And I think that's a really great way for us to look at situations where we see someone in trouble, where we see someone not living the way maybe they could or should, but that there's a better way. There's a better way. Now, Jesus had the greatest heart ever. I always think of things like this. So I don't know how the Son of God, how his heart was molded. It was perfect, as we know. So I don't know how God does that. You know, obviously it's not a physical heart, but Jesus had the perfect heart. However God chose to do that, Jesus had the perfect heart. And he loved those who were far from God. And again, the only people that he railed on were those who considered themselves religious, judgmental. They had hearts of stone. And they were deceived into thinking that they didn't. Now, some of you rough and tumble guys, you know, men's men, you might think the message a little weak. But I need to tell you something. I noticed as I was messing with this clay is actually kind of substantial. So even though it's moldable, a heart is moldable. It's substantial. There's when you let God mold your heart, and this is for everybody, but really a lot of guys, you might think, well, I don't want to sit there and weep all the time, or go around being a, I don't know. All these words I used to say, I can't say anymore. You get in trouble for anything you say. I think you know what I mean. Having a moldable heart is the coolest thing, and it's the best thing for a man. And you will gain more respect if that's what you're looking for than anything else, is letting God mold your heart. But remember, it's still substantial. Okay, all right. So where to go from here? Do you want a tender heart, a heart of flesh, other versions say? And I have two words, and it's really simple, but it's ask God, and I'm going to explain that. Seems very obvious, but as I said earlier, if you can't honestly do this, then, boy, you might be deceived. So the first thing is, just be able to ask God the question, is my heart a heart of stone? Honestly asking God, you may not be as bad as this rock, but you might have, on the outside of this heart of clay, maybe it's a little crusted over the years. Is my heart a heart of stone? And the second thing is, ask God to change your heart and your spirit. And Psalm 51:10 says, heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Remember what we read earlier in Ezekiel 36, where God was the only one that was going to be able to change Israel's heart. That was the only way. He was going to have to step in. Well, that's what he did for us. He stepped in. I don't know about you, but without Jesus, I got a heart like this one. And there might be moments where how I'm naturally made, I might be a little bit tender, but overall, I didn't care about just about anybody else but me. And I can remember being very, very selfish, and that's a heart of stone. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And I'm going to bring this home here in just a minute. So hold on, because I might say something about what you think. We'll see. And the third thing is, ask God to forgive you if you have judged others. Now, some of you might say, well, isn't there a time to judge? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, but remember what Jesus said. Make sure you get all the stuff out of your eye before you, then you'll be able to see for real, to be clear. And love has everything to do with that, okay? Has everything to do with that. And we need to ask God to forgive us when we've had bad heart towards other people. And you might need to ask somebody else to forgive you. I don't know. That's up to you. And the fourth thing is ask God each morning to help you to encourage someone. I got that from what Sal said to me that day, because if you want to change, you have to do something, I mean, God will change your heart, but then you also have to say, I'm going to do something about this. I don't want to be like this. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. And I don't know if this is just my love language, which it might be. But if somebody encourages me, I'm like, oh, okay, let's go. Let's go. I don't know. It just kind of lifts me up if somebody encourages me in something. Especially something that maybe is hard for me or whatever, and somebody encourages. It just takes simple words or simple actions. day-to-day stuff to really turn somebody's day around and maybe their life. So let's go back to the theme scripture I've chosen for this year. And if I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. It's Ezekiel 36:26, and it says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. All right. So I'd like us to all take a long look again at our own heart, each one of us, no matter how long you've been a Christian. Now, if you don't consider yourself a Christian, but you're here today, this is for you too, looking at your own heart, okay? Have you allowed your heart to become a heart of stone, a heart that's too judgmental, a heart that judges others when they don't think like you do, okay? Or do things like you do. You know, I've been a music pastor for so many years, I can't even count all the years anymore. 25, 30 years, whatever it is, I've been a music pastor. And you want to talk about something that everybody has a different opinion on. It's music. And it's so funny, too, because, you know, somebody who likes old songs can't understand why people would want all these new songs. And a lot of people who like all the new songs can't understand how anybody could like all these old songs. I mean, we're all so different. So different. It's so funny because that's the one thing I didn't write down in here today, but it just struck me because it's easy to judge people on music. And you like it. Maybe you grew up with certain music, so this is the way it should be. This is the music that you listen to through the years on the radio. This is the way it should be. Maybe this is the music the church did as you grew up. Other people, they're like, oh, you know, I love all the new music. It's just so great. There's so many great songs and, you know, whatever, whatever. What I love about this church, I've been here for 19 years, believe it or not. I rarely get hassled about it. Rarely. It has happened. But I just want to commend you for that. And that you have a good heart when it comes to this. I know what some of you are thinking. But that's music. That's music. And that's there's all kinds of things you could say about that. But now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, where the rubber meets the road, or any other cliche you might want to use. My personal belief, I'll say something that I believe. Now, there's scripture to back this up, but my personal belief is if you can physically make it to church, I mean any church, I think you should be there. I mean, that's what I think. And I know, and a lot of you think the same thing. But I also think that another evening, like for a Bible study or for like our Wednesday night Bible study, life group, whatever, yeah, I know you can't go to everything, but it is also something that if you're able to do it, that would be, I believe you could do that. Now, okay. Now, there's a lot of truth to what I'm saying, and the reason why I say it is because, well, the Bible does say, you know, don't forsake your own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage each other and all the more. But I just know all the other aspects, why it's so good for us, you know. It's not always easy. It's not always easy because you have to talk to other people if you're an introvert, and most of people are introverts. But it teaches you how to grow. And to how to relate to people. And if you need to be lifted up, encouraged, prayed for, here's the place. If you need to, you'll need to learn how to encourage other people and to pray for other people and just to have a good time together as God's people. And so there's so many great things about it, okay? But, you know, if you're a person that only comes twice a month, I need to tell you something. It's not for me to judge you. It really isn't. And I'm not going to. Now, there are other subjects I'm going to mention here in a minute that that when I say them, some of you are going to go, well, yeah, but shouldn't they do this? You know, there's a whole lot of things we just can't judge people. We just can't judge, okay? My job is to love and encourage you. That's what my job is. Now, I may encourage you to come to church, but I need to have it in the right attitude. I tell you what, nobody ever changed because of a finger in their face. I didn't. I certainly didn't. All right. So maybe you have a stringent workout schedule. Maybe you stay in excellent shape. And you know how important it is for other people to take care of their bodies. I mean, I'd say that's true. You know, and you see other people that don't appear to be taking care of themselves. And you might think that a lot of their physical, mental, and emotional problems could be resolved if they worked out. I mean, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. If we take care of ourselves, then a lot of times if we don't do that, you know, maybe it is affecting all these other things. It's possible. It's very possible. But if you feel this way, it is not for you to judge. It's for you to encourage others, okay? And maybe you're a meal planner. Now, my wife came up with this one. She goes, a lot of women will relate to this. Okay. I don't plan meals very well, so I can't relate. But she says, if you're a meal planner, you plan your meals for the month. And you see the benefits of this time management. There's less stress over dinner. And it might even save you money. Okay? But I got to tell you, it's not for you to judge everybody else who doesn't plan their meals. It's your job is to love and encourage. Now, you can encourage them to do it in love. Okay? All right. So, maybe you consider yourself somewhat of a nutrition expert. I will get off of food here in a minute. And when you know what good and bad foods do to our bodies, I know people like this, and I've always known people like this. It's easy to judge other people who don't eat what you eat or what you know is good for them. You know it's good for them because you know what it does to their bodies. So you know, and you probably do know. But boy, I have had people in my face about this before, and I still enjoy my chocolate to this day. But anyway, But you see other people that are tired or, you know, they have a hard time sleeping, you know, and that might have to do with what they're eating. I don't know. But it's not for you to judge. It's for you to encourage, okay, and love. Okay, how about this one? Maybe you've taken the Dave Ramsey Get Out of Debt course. How about that one? Yes. I've never taken it myself, but I think it's fantastic. And so you see the value of not having debt, okay? That's fantastic. And what a great thing that is. So you look around, you see other people, and they're in debt. You know, I mean, it is going to be so easy to judge them, you know? Because there's a whole lot of people that don't live by that Dave Ramsey model. It's pretty much cash, isn't it, mostly? Yeah, so... And it's getting out of debt, I think, is the whole thing. And so you can use scripture. You can tell people, wow, you won't be as stressed. Wow, you know, you're going to have more hope for your life. All these really good things. But it's not for you to judge. It's for you to love and encourage. Okay? Now, these things I've mentioned, they're all great things. And you could give great excuses for everything I've mentioned. And there's all kinds of things that are like this, okay? And you could go, yeah, but this has really helped them, and this is really get them on the right path, and why don't they just do what I'm saying? And so instead of this, you need to do this. We need this. Moldable heart. We need a moldable heart because it's going to affect your relationships with other people. Okay? It's going to affect it tremendously. The more we judge, the harder our heart gets and the less we're going to be helping other people come to Jesus. Because that's the only place that they're going to get real healing and real help. Can you say amen? Yeah. The more we love, the less we judge. The softer our heart will be. And it's going to do much toward helping other people be drawn to Christ, which is what we want. Now, if we have a church full of people allowing God to mold and soften their heart, a church full of people doing this so that it's an active thing, you're allowing God to change you. You're allowing the Word of God to get in here, not just here. And it's applied always, always, always through love. And if we do this, then we will be reaching many, many people. Okay? Many, many people. And if you're online, it goes for you too, you know. And there's been times in my life when I thought, well, the church needs to do this. Well, the church needs to do that. The church needs to be more contemporary. The church needs to be doing this to be able to speak to new, more younger people. We need to take care of these people. We need to have more people involved taking care of these people. I mean, the list is endless when it comes to the church. But I'll tell you what, it can get pretty simple when you start talking about God changing your heart and getting rid of this heart of stone. It gets pretty simple because all kinds of good things will happen when God changes your heart. Religion never saved anybody. Religion never saved a soul. Okay? It's the pointed finger. It's telling somebody what they're doing is not just telling what they're telling them what they're doing is wrong, but you're condemning them while you're doing it. And I'm not saying we never tell people what they're doing is hurting them, but it's got to be done in love. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying there? It's got to be done in love. Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. We're going to sing a song here in a minute about the heart. And I'd like you to take a few moments in reflection. And maybe if the worship team could just kind of play that song quietly and not sing it, just have some music, that next song, and then we'll sing it here in a moment. But I'd like you to reflect a little bit and sincerely ask God. Just ask God. Say, God, I don't want a stony heart. I don't want one that's like a stone. I want to change. I want to quit judging people. Okay? Quit judging people, but love them to Jesus. You know, most of the time, people know what they're doing is wrong. When you point it out, they usually run the other way. But God can change a person's heart, and He can change your heart. And so let's just ask God individually, just over a few moments, and just kind of, if you'd like to bow your head, that's fine. Just take a few moments, and then we're going to sing a song, and we'll be done for this morning. But if you need to start a new journey, now's the perfect time during this week of prayer and fasting for God to change your heart, okay? And start loving people again. Okay? All right, let's just take a few moments. Thank you. Soften us. God, only you can change the heart. Thank you. Hallelujah. When we're in this moment of reflection, if you're a person that feels like that you want to get to know this Jesus, now's as good a time as any. Because he'll change your heart and he'll do it right now. He will do it right now. Because I know what happened to me. And it happened right then and there. You got a ways to go, but he'll turn you in the right direction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So if that's you today, if you want to accept Christ into your heart, and you just want to say a simple prayer and just talk to God and say, God, change my heart. Change my heart. I want to get to know you. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and not so anybody else can see it, but just so you and God. Okay? So if you'd like to do that, just raise your hand, and I'd just like to pray a quick prayer with you. Amen. I see a couple of you. Three. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. Lord, we just want to come before you this morning, and we want to tell you, Lord, I want to change. I want to change my heart, but I can't do it on my own. I need you to help me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart, and change me. I believe in you. And I believe you can change my life. I've made a mess of it. So, Lord, I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. And help me, Lord, to be on the right path. So we love you today. And we want to learn to love you more and to love other people more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you made a decision for Christ today, I want to make sure that you tell somebody that you did that, okay? All right, so let's all stand up and sing a song.